People who look to the Lord, they don't need to worry about such trivial matters, because He will take care of it as long as we put Him first. But I just, the whole thing's mind-boggling. We were in Wally World the other day, and we knew we had company coming this weekend, and Tina said, we'd better pick up some more of that toilet paper. And I said, okay, well, let's go over here. And the whole aisle was just empty. Empty. So I said, no big deal, we'll go to Meijer. And it was all empty there, too, so I got on the phone, and we started calling around. Anyway, a couple weeks ago, I did Brother Steve's Sunday School class, and I was talking to those three little ladies in there. Boy, they put a smile on my face every time I think of them, Elise and Charity and Leah. And we were talking about the potter and the clay. And so it got me to thinking when Pastor Jeremy asked me to do this class. I want to talk about this. I did this a few months ago in this adult class, but it didn't turn out very well. But I want to tackle it from a different angle today, about an unfinished product. You see, this is us. This is us. We're unfinished. We're not going to be a finished product until we're with our Lord in heaven. That's the only time we're going to be finished. But I want to take a look at this today from the mindset of when we see others, we tend to put them in a box, and we tend to think that is the finished product. But it's not the finished product. We need to have compassion for brothers and sisters and our neighbors, knowing that they're not finished, and neither are we. There's not a one of us that are finished. We're like that over there. Some might be a little smoother. Some might be closer to being finished. But there's not a one of us that are finished. Okay, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him. But there is a lot of people traveling today. Pastor Jeremy and his family, and we think of Gabrielle and her family, and then I also got word yesterday from my mom and dad. They've had enough of Florida, so they're underway. They're traveling, and Stephen and Samantha, they're traveling. They'll be here this evening sometime. And then even John and Matthew, after they get back here, I don't know what their plans are, but I assume they're going to be traveling, heading back to school. So there's a lot of people to pray for safety out there today in the coming days. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for this opportunity to be in Your house today, Father. And we just thank You that we can come to You. And if we put You first in our lives, Father, you supply the needs. We do not have to worry about them. You have promised to take care of them. And we just thank You for that, Father. Knowing You're there and You provide for Your children, and it's such a blessing, Father. And as we look into Your word here today, Father, help us to learn those things You'd have us to learn today. Help us to remember in the days ahead, Father, that there's not a one of us that's a finished product. You're still working in each one of our lives. You are the potter. We are nothing but the clay. So I pray that You have Your will and way in our lives, not only today during the service and throughout this day, but for the remainder of our days here, Father, that we'll continue to allow You to shape us and mold us into the image of Christ, and we'll be more like Him each and every day that passes, Father. We think of those that are traveling today, that You just give them the safety and the protection that they need out there on the road, and Father, bring them back to their place of service. We just ask this in Jesus' name today, Father, that You bless the service today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, so now that our time's almost gone, we're going to get into it. Anyway, let's go to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 1 through 6. I want to talk about Scripture in several places talks about the potter, which is God, and the clay, which is us. He formed us out of the clay, right? So let's read the first 6 verses in Jeremiah chapter 18. And it says, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. And these verses should be a great comfort to us all, because just as we read right here, The mistakes we've made in times past, the times that we've failed, no matter how miserably we've failed, and we all have from time to time. There's not one of us that haven't. And if we think we're going to go the rest of our lives not failing somewhere down the line, we're mistaken. But the hope that we have, the confidence that we have, the blessing that we have, is God doesn't throw the play away. He doesn't. If he did, he would have thrown me away a long time ago. But he doesn't. He just keeps working with that clay. When I did this for the Brother Steve's class a little while ago, to my surprise, Elise has a potter's wheel. I didn't know that. But she understood exactly what I was talking about. But that's what God does. He just keeps molding us. He just keeps shaping us. As long as our hearts are right with him, then we're pliable and we're soft and we're allowing him to use us. It's when we get hard. Now, I did have, at work, we used some clay, too, once in a while. But that clay's hard, and it's not for making things with. It's not for a potter's wheel. But it's hard clay. You can't do anything, hardly. You can't make anything with hard clay. We do it to smooth out some rough edges before we scan something. But regardless, in order to work with clay, it's got to be soft and pliable. The problem with a lot of people, especially when they get older, is we become hard clay. The Lord can't do anything with us when we're hard clay, but he wants to. That's the encouraging part. As long as we're soft and pliable, God doesn't throw his people away. Let's go to Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. And it says right here, being confident in this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you, and God has begun a good work in each one of us since we've accepted Christ as our Savior. He's begun that work. And then it goes on to say here, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Why will he perform it until the day of Jesus Christ? Because he's constantly trying to make us more like Christ. He's not going to give up. He's not going to give up. Yes, we're going to become cracked along the way. Yes, we're going to have rough edges along the way. We're not going to be very pretty. Sorry, Jordan, I know you made that, but we're not going to be very pretty. We're not going to be very pretty to a lot of people. But to God, he sees the finished product. We don't. Like I said a minute ago, we tend to put people in a box, okay? We meet somebody, we see somebody, and we put them in a box and we say, that's the end of that person. I know, I got them figured out. I know exactly who they are, what they are, and what they're all about. Well, we don't. We don't know the heart. God does. What we need to see of people is what God sees the people, what they can become. And encouragement goes a long ways there, people. Encouragement goes along. You read the scriptures, isn't God encouraging us to do right all along the way? Yes. God, the master potter, is in control. Why? Because he created us. God's in control because he created us. Let's go to Psalms 139. Verse 14, Psalms 139, verse 14, it says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, that means not finished, unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. God made us. He is the creator, and he has every right to make with us what he sees best, his will, done in our lives. Let's go, well, Genesis 1:27, it says in there, God created man. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 9. Just trying to drive home the point. God is the creator. He owns us. Not only does he own us, he made us, but those that are saved, he bought us again. He redeemed us. He has every right to do with us what he wants, as long as we're soft and pliable. His will can be accomplished in our lives. Let's see, Isaiah 45, verse 9. And it says here, "Woe unto him that striveth with his maker." Right, there's a woe, and it would do us all well to remember that right there the rest of our days. "Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay, which is us, say to him that fashioned it, What makest thou, or thy work? He hath no hands. Woe unto him that saith unto his father, What begettest thou, or to the woman, What hast thou brought forth? Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his Maker, Ask me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands. Command ye me. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I even my hands have stretched out the heavens and all their hosts have I commanded." God is the creator. God did create each one of us. There wasn't no accident. And he has every right to do with his creation as he sees fit, as his will directs. That right there, Jordan owns. Jordan made it. He can do whatever he wants with it. He made it. But when it comes to us, that would be God. That would be God. Now, I told you, I told you what we're going to get to here is how we see people. First, we're going to establish the fact that God created us. God's doing a work in us. God is not done with us. But when we see people, too many times we lack compassion. We lack compassion, people, because they don't fit our mold. But we're not the mold. We're not the standard. And we need to see people as God sees people, what they can become. What they can become. When I hear the phrase a self-made man, I think of ignorance. And we've all heard that phrase before. This person's a self-made man, or this person's a self-made woman. That's a bunch of baloney. When people make that claim, they are saying everything they are, everything they have, and everything they have become is the result of their own human efforts. That's so wrong. Whenever you hear that, it's wrong. It's a lie and it's not truth. God is in control. God is in control. Those people, the same people that say that, were created by God. And he has a will for their lives too. Let's go to Proverbs 16:9. And it says, a man's heart deviseth his way. And the heart's desperately wicked. Who can know it, right? We all know that. But it says right here, a man's heart deviseth his way. So we want to try to make our own way in life. God has us on a path to be the finished product. So if that's the path we need to be on and we try to make our own path, then obviously we're going in an opposite direction of God's finished product. So it says right here in verse 9, a man's heart deviseth his own way, but the Lord directeth his steps. But the Lord directs his steps. And his steps are going to lead ultimately to being more like Christ, the finished product. The finished product. It is when we try to be the potter of our own lives that we get ourselves in trouble. It happens every time. And I think if we were to take the time to ask everybody, we can all give a time in our lives where we tried to be the potter. And then every one of us, I know, without a doubt, are going to say that ended in failure. It always does. It always does, people. I know I can say that for myself. Anytime I try to be the potter, right? Anytime I try to step in and do my own thing without consulting the Lord, it does not end well. And I'll tell you something else that's not on my notes. When it doesn't end well, it's not going to affect just me. Yeah. Anytime we go our own direction, it's going to affect other people besides just ourselves. We must never forget that we are not our own. We are not our own. When we get busy out there in our own lives and in work tomorrow or whatever it might be, the tendency is to forget about the Lord and go our own direction and think we're the boss. You know, I'm in control today. No, there's not a one of us that are in control. Our own lives would be miserable apart from the Lord. Our own lives, we'd spend our time this morning going to the next town looking for toilet paper if we didn't trust in the Lord. That's the truth. These people out there running around like chickens with their heads cut off for no reason, because they don't know the Lord. That's why. 1 Corinthians 6:20. First, speaking of being bought with a price, 1 Corinthians 6:20. If you buy something, don't you own it? Yeah, it makes sense. But I mean, if you buy something, you own it. And if you own it, don't you have the right to do whatever you want to do with it? Yeah, if you own it. But Christ bought us. I think a lot of times as we go through our life, we don't dwell on that. We don't meditate on that. We don't take that in consideration when we want to go our own direction, when we want to be the potter. We were bought. 1 Corinthians 6:20. Where am I at here? 6:20. It says, "For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Right there, we do not have any control. We should not have any control over our lives. We should let God do the shaping and the molding and the directing until we get to that point right there, until we get to that finished product. And like I said a little bit ago, there's not a one of us that are a finished product. You know, it's harder the older you get to be soft and pliable. Yeah, when I was talking to those three little girls over there, you know, I don't know what ages they are. They're young and they're soft and pliable. The Lord can do a lot of things to those three little ladies over there. They're a joy. But as we get older, you know what? As we get older, we get harder. We get like a hard piece of clay. I don't know if you ever tried messing with a hard piece of clay. You just can't do much with it. It's really hard to shape. We all ought to wear a sign. Okay, I shouldn't make one up. We all ought to have a sign that we wear that says, "Please be patient. The Lord is not done with me yet." But yet we'll point the finger, we will repeat matters about people because we lack the compassion to know that there's still a work in progress. There's still a work in progress. We're not nearly done, but what I want you to take with you today is we're not a finished product. So when we see people, we need to see them as the Lord sees them. The Lord sees them as that. We see them as this, and we have a tendency to think that's all the more they'll ever be. That's not all the more that you and I will ever be. We'll be better if we allow Him to do the molding and the shaping of our lives. God's desire is to keep working on us, to conform us, to be more and more like Christ. Day by day that goes by, He wants us to be more like Christ. Romans 8:29. Well, we'll start in verse 28, I guess. Romans 8:28. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." That's the whole purpose right there. So we can be more like Christ. Let's go to Galatians 4:19. Galatians 4:19, it says, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Until Christ be formed in you. You see, when we see people, we get visitors or people from other churches, or we look at one another. We need to think of the fact that God is still working on each one of us. And he's trying to get us to be more like Christ. Don't give up on each other. God has not given up on us. Too many times we give up on people, and it's discouraging. It's discouraging to those people because we treat them like they're a finished product. Look at them like they're a work in progress. A work in progress. The same way I am. I'm a work in progress. Am I finished? Well, there's lots of people who tell you no. You're rough around the edges and you're this, that, and the other. That's okay. I'm still a work in progress. How do you know what I'm going to be like 365 days from now? How do I know what you're going to be like 365 days from now? You know, we sing that song, Higher Ground. The whole point there is for the Lord to lead us to higher spiritual ground. That's the point behind the song. If I could sing it, I'd sing it to you right now, but I'm not about to. But that's the whole point, people. You and I are not complete. We are a work in progress. We should... Oh, I already talked about signs. Please be patient. Yeah, I already talked about that too. Day by day, trial by trial, God is molding and shaping us to be more like Christ. We will not be a finished work until we meet Christ in eternal glory. We need to keep that in mind. Our part of the process towards each other, though, here comes the compassion part. It is, like I said, we tend to put people in a box and place limitations on them. Does God place a limitation on any one of us? Have you ever read that in Scripture? I've never read it. The limit is Christ, I guess, if you want to put it that way. That's the highest limit there is. Too many times we fail to realize that our own brother and sisters are not a finished product. We need to have compassion. Did Christ have compassion on each one of us? Compassion, here's a definition, and you could probably vary the definition depending on where you get it, but that human disposition that fuels acts of kindness and mercy. Compassion, a form of love, is aroused within us when we are confronted with those who suffer or are vulnerable. Compassion often produces action to alleviate the suffering. There it is, compassion. Now, do we have compassion for everybody? Do we have compassion for all of our brothers and sisters? Remember, compassion leads to action. I can say I have compassion for somebody, but if I don't do anything, who cares? What's the point? What good is it going to do? Take that with you today. Compassion leads to action. Compassion leads to action. Did we have a need? We were born in sin. We're nothing but sinners. Did we have a need? God had compassion on us, and it led Christ to the cross. His compassion led to action. His compassion led to action. And I'm speaking of passion or compassion right now on the unfinished product. We're all unfinished products. So we should have compassion one for another. That leads to action. That leads to action. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Yeah, we're going to be out of time, but that's all right. I got a few more verses I want to look at here. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Let's start in 29. Ephesians 4, 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, building up one another, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor in evil speaking. Boy, let's get that one down. Evil speaking. Because that does not go with compassion. It does not go with compassion. But be put away from you. So every one of us put those things away. We want to have compassion one for another. Let's put those things away. Let's bury them. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. What they're saying right here in Scripture is, hey, I want you to do what I've done for you. That's what it is in a nutshell. I want you to do what I've done for you. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Why do we do all this? Because we're not a finished product. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Oh, I'm in 1 Thessalonians. Whoops, hang on. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. And it says here, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Here it is in verse 13. Forbearing one another. Why do we do that? Because we're not finished. And forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things put on charity. Above all those things put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. How about 1 Corinthians 13. Well, we're running short. Let's just go to Galatians. Let's just go to Galatians chapter 6, starting in verse 1. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. And it says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens. You know, that right there sounds like compassion. Bearing one another's burdens. Do we see the need of others around us? That's compassion. And then acting upon it. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something. Boy, right there we go. If a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing. That's the truth. I'm nothing. But I tell you what, I'll be honest with you. There's times I think I'm something. You know, in different situations, you solve a big problem at work or whatever it is, and you know, people are praising you. I'm still nothing. I'm still nothing. When he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. He deceiveth himself. Let's go to Mark chapter 12, if we would. Would please, Mark chapter 12, where am I at? Mark chapter 12, verse 28. It says, and one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And then the second one, he says, and the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Boy, do we fall short on that a lot of times. You know, we all love ourselves pretty well. I mean, that's easy to do. That's a given. But the people next to us, especially the brothers and sisters in Christ that we have. Now, this says neighbors, but I'm going to take it a little closer to home. The brothers and sisters in Christ that we have. We say brother, this, that, and the other. We say sister, this, that, and the other. But do we treat them like brothers and sisters? Do we have compassion? Do we see them as an unfinished product? Do we know that the Lord's not done working on them? Or do we just see them as that, and that's all they're ever going to do? very pretty. It's not very nice. I don't mean your work's not pretty. I'm saying how people look at us. But it says right there, and the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Let's close with, let's go to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. 1 John 4, 20 says, if any man say, I love God, and we all say we love God, and we do. We do. And hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Commanded, right there. Okay, so we'll close with Romans 9:21, but the whole point this morning, and I hope I got it across, that the Lord wanted me to get across this morning, is that we're not finished products. None of us are done. The Lord's still working on us. Let's have compassion one for another. Let's see the needs one for another. Let's have that compassion and act upon it. Talk's cheap. Talk's really cheap. It's just, I'm not trying to come down on anybody. I'm just trying to get us to be closer together. Let's all serve the Lord together, knowing that there's not a one of us that are perfect. We all have our faults. We're all an unfinished product. But one day we're all going to be just like. We're going to be just like that. We're going to be finished products when we're in the presence of our Lord and Savior. We're going to be done. We're not going to be done until then. Okay, let's close with Romans 9:21. I got to get there. You're probably already there. Romans 9:21. Romans 9:21 says, hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? Hath not the potter power over the clay? Let's let him have the power over the clay. Let's let him have the power over our lives. Over our lives. And then let's have mercy one to another, compassion, and just help one another along the way, knowing we're not a finished product. But let's help each other get there anyway. No finger pointing, no gossip, no whatever tears down. Put it all aside. Let's help one another along the way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day and this opportunity again to be in your house. Father, just look at your word for a few minutes, and it's just amazing the compassion you have on us and the mercy and the grace you bestow upon us, Father. We're so undeserving. Father, I just pray that you continue to mold us and shape us and make us more into the image of your dear Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray that we'll be soft and pliable in your hands and allow you to do just that in our lives. And Father, we just pray for those, again, that are traveling throughout this day, that you give them the safety they need, encouragement along the way. I pray for the service today that, Father, you have your will and way there. And we'll thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.